You're not going to want to miss this episode of the AI Show, where my dear colleague Tanya goes through a potpourri of amazing things from community all the way to specific libraries you should be thinking about with machine learning. You're not going to want to miss it. Make sure you tune in. Hello and welcome to this special edition of the AI Show. We've got Tanya Allard with us. My friend, tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi, I am a developer advocate. I work with Seth, and I specialize in all things research, scientific computing, machine learning, all things data and open source, mostly around the Python and R communities.
So that's pretty cool, but aren't you involved in like some community stuff? Like I've heard of things like the Python Software Foundation. Obviously, I'm a member. I'm a paying member because I love them so much, but you're also involved in something called PyLadies. Why don't you tell us about that?
Right. So the Python Software Foundation basically is the governing body that makes sure, well, it keeps the copyright of the Python programming language and also grows a community. And on the side of growing the community and diversifying it, we have PyLadies, which is like a peer mentorship program, as well as a program that tries to bring women and other minorities or other minoritized genders in our community that want to become part of it, that want to learn. So basically, we just encourage and support all of these underserved groups in the Python community. We organize workshops for them. We bring them together. We do a lot of cool stuff.
So that's amazing. So the Python Software Foundation's primary job is to like make sure Python keeps being a thing. So I want to talk about both things. I want people to understand exactly what it is, and then I want to get into PyLadies because that sounds amazing. So the Python Software Foundation's job is to how would you characterize that?
I would say that its mission is to facilitate the growth of the Python community. There are many, many ways in which this happens. On one of the side is like making sure that the Python programming language is sustainable. It oversees that the copyright, anything with copyrights or copyright violations, it promotes and advances the Python language in that sense. So it organizes like core Python developer summits every so often. I think it's twice a year. Year or once a year or something like that. They organize PyCon, which is like the biggest Python developers conference every year. And it also makes sure that there are free resources out there for folks that want to use Python, learn Python, and make sure that the whole Python ecosystem is sustainable and diverse. And a big part of this is raising funds, generating funds. A big part of the income for the PSF is PyCon. So this year has been particularly challenging with the course of events. But there are many other events around the world, many other fundraisers, for example, every year they run a very big fundraiser. And that's what funds a lot of the development and the staff that keeps the community and the language going.
Awesome. So part of that has to be PyLadies is it a program that the Python Software Foundation helps out? Is it a member of that of the Python Software Foundation? And then number two,
right,
tell me about, like, for those that are watching that might be interested in joining, what are some of the things that you all do?
So PyLadies is not 100% a PSF project. It still works independently, but we do have a lot of ties, especially when it comes to raising funds, creating and working on diversity grants. Our code of conduct, of course, is aligned with the PSF, and misconducts or reports through our code of conduct go directly to the PSF. We also help a lot with the PyCon conference. And basically, the way we're organized is we have a global council, where we see all of the boring administrative things, make sure that the infrastructure for the different chapters is kept up to date. We register new chapters, we create like governance and policies. And then we have chapters distributed all around the world. So if you want to become part of it, basically you just have to Google or you go to our website and you'll find the chapter that is closest to yours. There is also a PyLadies remote chapter for those that, like, if you don't have a chapter near you or you're struggling to just mingle with folks because, like, schedule and stuff, you can always be part of this remote PyLadies chapter as well.
So that's awesome. I love the community. Like I said, I'm a member of the Python Software Foundation, right? I pay my dues every year because I love Python so much. And I love Python primarily because of machine learning and scientific community and the scientific community that's involved with Python. How is that community involved, the Python and the data science community?
I think, well, it's very, very interesting, especially over the last few years. There has been a massive explosion in the data science side of things of the community. I would say probably the last 3-4 years. Whenever the PSF runs their annual survey, data analysis and machine learning are within the top 3 most commonly used cases for Python, along with web development. So a lot of folks are turning to Python for scientific computing, machine learning, deep learning, all of that. And that has brought like another layer of diversity within our community. It was already very diverse because Python is such a versatile language. You can use it for pretty much anything, like web development, DevOps, IoT stuff, Adafruit has CircuitPython. You can do anything. Having such a strong part of our community now coming from mathematics, statistics, doing things like machine learning, data science has not only brought diversity in the sense of background that folks come from, but also the set of tools. And we've seen the emergence of things like Anaconda, more and more things working towards deep learning, for example, machine learning, distributed computing, to satisfy the demands of all of these folks that work with vast amounts of data, really.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm a huge fan. I use Python all the time. My favorite deep learning library currently is PyTorch. What are some of the things that you are working on when it comes to projects that involve Python or just in general?
Well, I use Python every day. I would say most of the things that I work on use Python or some of the Python scientific computing ecosystem. At the moment, and a project I'm very, very excited about is a joint collaboration with Microsoft Research, AI for Earth, the Alan Turing Institute. I love the Alan Turing Institute and the Met Office in the UK. As you imagine, the Met Office has ridiculous amounts of data. They collect terabytes of data on a daily basis. And they're all migrating their research infrastructure to Azure. And we've tried, one of the main concerns when it comes to researchers always is reproducibility and interoperability. We've tried to find a way in which researchers can make the most of things like Azure machine learning when it comes to compute, the ease of access or the ease to create virtual machines, run model, train models, keep track of their versions, register models, but they still want to use the open tool ecosystem that they love. And in this case, for Earth and meteorological data, is the PanGeo project that basically is built on top of Jupyter, but it comes with certain libraries and tools specifically for this domain, for this scientific domain. So we're working together to develop some specific Jupyter spanners that allows folks to enter through their Met Office, Jupyter Hub, authenticate with their Azure account, and then spin up their Azure machine learning workspaces, make the most of GPUs without them having to migrate everything to a new platform. And it's also very, very interesting because that allows us also to have a more per project and per lab control of the expenses folks have much more transparency when it comes to how much they're spending for the research. And it's also really, really good because that's a missing piece that they've had for so many years when they're like, I need to know how much money I'm going to spend or how much money I need to request in a grant. But that, like, they could just guesstimate at best. They're like, I'm going to ask for this amount of money, but now we have a much more granular overview on where their money is going, what resources they're utilizing more, and how to make their workflows more efficient. So that's very, very interesting. And also we're AI for Earth is coming into the picture because the Met Office is making a huge amount of their data sets completely open access. So AI for Earth is supporting them and supporting us in making this transition so that more folks in the research community can benefit from these data sets and use them for the research or whatever applications. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Alan Turing Institute. I went there a couple of years ago, and they were mentioning these issues with Jupyter Hub and trying to get things in a repeatable way and in a way that they could manage. That's awesome. Do you have anything to show us?
Yeah, so actually, I was going to show you a video. It's a very early prototype of this new Jupyter Hub spanner that I've mentioned. So in the video, you'll be able to see that we have a Azure machine learning workspace with different compute that you could access through AML. But in this case, we're accessing it through the Jupyter Hub from the Met Office. You authenticate with your Azure account, and what it allows you to do is having your interfaces, having your personalized Met Office scientific computing environment. But if you need, for example, to spin up very easily, very seamlessly, a GPU machine, virtual machine, to do whatever you need to do, this spawner will do it on your behalf. And once it is done, it'll shut it down. So you folks don't even need to go to their Azure portal to get stuff done or resources created. They can do everything directly from their Jupyter Hub interface or their Jupyter Lab interface. And this definitely has a lot of benefits. It's super, super exciting. I think the hardest part has been the authentication. But apart from that, it does give a very nice and seamless integration between the open source ecosystem, the Pangea open source ecosystem, and Azure machine learning, which is what we were looking for since the very
So what
beginning.
I'm looking at here then is an Azure machine learning compute instance that then is you can log into externally. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and it's pretty seamless, right? It's because I think you basically and the thing that I think is super interesting is that you were able to also add authentication over the top, so you knew that the people that were going in there can go in there.
Exactly, and as you can see there, you can access directly your resources for sure. Folks don't like because. You need to, especially when you are working within an organization, you need to make sure that only folks within your organization or working on a specific project will be the only ones that have access to data or compute. So by doing this, we are enabling that. And it just makes the entire data science workflow much more seamless.
Yeah, and that's really cool because like the files are actually being dropped on storage that everyone on your team can have access to. Because I think one of the hardest parts of data science is generally just collaborating with other data scientists. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is one of the hardest parts, along with reproducibility and data lineage. So again, the Alan Turing Institute has been an amazing partner when it comes to setting standards for data lineage and not only focusing on code and environment, but also making data and all of our data workflows first-class citizens. So pretty much all of the components of the research projects are valued and kept track, and folks always know what they're expecting at all times.
Well, this is cool. It's been cool to get a glimpse into like how a sophisticated machine learning shop like the Alan Turing Institute might do their work. Now, kind of a personal question. Do you have any favorite tools and libraries in Python that you...
I have a lot of favorite tools. I think I always say that one of my favorite ecosystems is the Jupyter ecosystem. I love everything Jupyter. But I'm going to say one of my favorite tools within that is PaperMill. And it's like the missing way to have parameterized notebooks that I wish I had when I was doing my PhD. My PhD would have been so much easier if there were a PaperMill back then. And then something else that I love is DVC, which is data version control, for folks that, well, for example, if you don't have access to things like Azure Machine Learning and sophisticated MLOps, DVC is a very, very good step towards data science reproducibility. And recently they launched something called continuous machine learning, which is basically MLOps on top of DVC, and it allows you to use GitHub Actions or GitLab or Travis, whatever you're already using for your software continuous delivery, you can now start using in conjunction with DVC and make sure that all of your data science pipelines are reproducible and traceable.
Well, this is cool because these are libraries I haven't heard about. I'm excited to dig into them. I'm always happy to learn from you, Tanya. Obviously, maybe people don't know, but we are definitely colleagues. Any call to actions? What are some things you would like people to do before we go?
Definitely go, and if you're into MLOps and data science reproducibility, go and check continuous machine learning. That is super, super nifty. And if you've always wanted to get into Python but were like afraid to, joining any of the PyLadies groups is probably one of the best entry points. If you feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna find folks that look like me or come from a background like myself, try to find your nearest PyLadies chapter, reach out to them. They're always super nice, super helpful, and yeah, just join the Python community.
Awesome. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And for you watching, thank you so much for being with us. We've been learning all about a ton of things, the Python Software Foundation, PyLadies, the Alan Turing Institute. We saw a cool demo of some stuff they're enabling in Azure Machine Learning, and obviously some cool libraries for machine learning and scientific computing with Python. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.